Open your Bibles this morning to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. How exciting. We finished Genesis and Exodus, and now we find ourselves jumping back into the New Testament and learning the New Testament. We will study the entire Gospel of Matthew, not today. You're going, oh, thank goodness. Anyway, but we will study through this glorious writing by Matthew about the life of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, we pray that today you'll come to know him as your Lord and your Savior. There's no greater life. I've been saved since 1979, April the 4th, never forget it, where I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart to forgive me of all my sins and to cleanse my heart and to daily change my life. Each and every one of you that are Christians here this morning have that same testimony. And today, we are still asking the Lord Jesus Christ to daily change our lives, to be more like him. Amen? This is our high calling, to be changed in the image of God by the power that is found in Jesus Christ and the working of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God so that we would live out the will of God for our lives and to reach souls and to make disciples. This beautiful Gospel of Matthew, I love. I love Matthew. He just squares off. I've entitled Matthew basically True Love. True Love, because he will teach us about truth and he will teach us about the love of God. You see, sometimes people just want love without truth. You have to have truth and you have to have love. Without truth and you only have love, you don't have true love. This is the working of God through his Holy Spirit. Well, God just loves everybody. Some people will preach that, and you don't need to change your life. No, the truth of the matter is we need to repent of our sins. Amen? We need to serve God. We need to honor God. We need to live for God according to his word. You cannot make up God in your own mind and say, if I was God, this is how I would treat me. Thus, I will live this way. No, we need true love. We're not to make God into our image. We're to be made into the image of God. To know the image of God is to know the Word of God. And thus, Matthew gives us this gospel, this beautiful gospel. Let me give you an introduction to the book, and then we'll take in chapter 1. The word gospel in Greek is euangelion, which means glad tidings or good news. Don't you like good news? Don't you get tired of watching the news? I'm just so sick of it all. Especially them always attacking our president constantly. It's just disgusting. I mean, come on already. Get over it. But they want to create anarchy. God wants to create peace. God wants to create, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Love your neighbor as yourself. We have totally lost that in our society. Used to be around, but no longer. Now it's destroy your neighbor. Love yourself. Destroy our president. Destroy our country. Destroy conservatives. Destroy Christians. This is the mantra of what we call the left, the liberal, and yes, the Democratic Party. Pastor, you shouldn't be political. I'm going to call it out, man. And I'm going to say, Republicans, be repentikins. Democrat, you need to come to Jesus Christ. One day you're going to be judged. Turn to the Word of God. Turn to the one who gives you good news. Turn to the one who gives you a good life, a moral life. We need morality back in America. They're the morals of the Bible. We need Jesus Christ to return to America. Matthew gives us Jesus Christ. He gives us the good news. He'll create a great nation. He'll teach us how to live and love one another. He'll get us out of drugs. He'll get us out of alcoholism. He'll get us out of adultery. He'll get us out of homosexuality. He'll get us out of transgenderism. He'll get us out of lying, stealing, and cheating, and corruption, and politics, and Wall Street. He changes our lives radically He'll make us good, honest, virtuous people, because this is the gospel. He'll make us good husbands, wonderful wives, great dads, wonderful mothers. We'll raise good children. Oh, they're not perfect. Nobody's perfect. But they'll love the Lord. They're not going to be taught about being animals through evolution. They're going to be taught about living for God and be made into His image. This is what God does for us. This is the good news. We have left the good news. We have nothing but bad news in our streets. Thousands being murdered in the streets of America. Thousands being ODing on drugs, all kinds of opiates in America. We need the good news of Jesus Christ. Excuse me. We need Him to change our hearts and our lives. He'll stop abortion. Laws won't stop abortion. But a heart for God will stop abortion, because you realize that life is precious. And you realize we've all been deceived. We've been deceived by the devil. We've been deceived by our flesh. We've been deceived by this world. And we need to return to the gospel, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you with me? You see, my friends, we're destroying ourselves. Political parties can't save us. President Trump and the Congress, nobody can save us but Jesus Christ. He's the only one. It is important for us to be people of the gospel, the good news. So when we go to people with this good news, we realize it's going to change their life forever. You know what? This is so exciting. I've seen so many people come to Christ throughout my 30-some years. What is it now? 38 years as a Christian. I've seen marriages that were absolutely dilapidated and destroyed come alive in Jesus Christ. I've seen the most hardened drug addict repent of their sins and give their heart to Jesus Christ and then be saved. The alcoholic. I've seen homosexuals come to Jesus Christ and be changed. Transgenders changed. Because of the power and the authority of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Everything that God gives us, all of His quote-unquote rules and regulations, are to provide for our emotional well-being and our protection. He protects us from destroying ourselves as we follow His ways. He doesn't want anyone to get AIDS, gonorrhea, syphilis, chlamydia, on and on we can go. He doesn't want you to have cirrhosis of the liver from alcoholism. He doesn't want you to be one that ODs on drugs, loses your mind. You see people walking in the streets, they're out of their minds just talking to us because they've burned out their brain on drugs. He doesn't want you ladies to be damaged inside because of an abortion or have a higher risk of breast cancer because of the abortion. God's ways are always the best ways. They're loving ways. They're true ways. Amen? So when we look at God, He's not here to condemn us. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But He's here to save us and then to change us. That's called sanctify us. And He's going to love us and bless us and help us and one day take us to heaven. The word gospel is glad tidings or good news. This good news is about Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, who died for our sins, who resurrected from the grave, who offers all who offers eternal life to all that repent of their sins and place faith in Him for salvation. You notice I said repent. You can't just accept Jesus Christ here, but have nothing here. You must be committed to God from your heart. Now I will live for Him. I will turn from lying, stealing, cheating, living immorally, having sex outside of marriage, adultery. I will start living for God. Yes, I'm going to live a pure life. Amen? And I'm going to have fun living this pure life. Sometimes people think, I used to think, be honest with you, when I before I was a Christian, I don't want to be a Christian. That's no fun. Those Christians, they don't have any fun. Look at them. They used to go to church, read their Bibles. That's not a fun life. Until I became a Christian, I have a blast. I have more fun than ever. I can be filled with the joy of the Lord and just have a great time all the time. And I don't need the outside sources to fill me up, to try to make me happy, which leave me hungover or over a toilet in the morning. Because Jesus Christ comes into our hearts and cleanses our hearts, changes our lives, and fills us with a joy that is everlasting. See, we repent of our sins. We turn from sin, and now we follow the Savior. Matthew is the first book of the New Testament. The New Testament has four Gospels: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You know that. We also have the book of Acts in the New Testament, which is the actions of the early church or the actions of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life in the early church. We have the epistles, which is Romans through Jude, instructions about our Christian life and about sound doctrine, what we're to believe. And then we have the book of Revelation. I love the book of Revelation. Prophecy of the last days. Jesus did not leave us in the dark, lurching about. I wonder what's going to happen next. He says, no, man, I got a big, bright beam of light to show you the future of the church and the future of humanity and the last days. What's going to take place? What an incredible, incredible book that we study and we learn from, the book of Revelation. And remember, it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. We must read it, we must study it, and we must learn it, and we always will and do. Observe how God used each gospel writer in a unique and special way to reach a sinful world with salvation. A sinful world with salvation. I used to think that Christians were self-righteous. Oh, they're so self-righteous. And then I became a Christian, I realized they're not self-righteous. They're a bunch of, or you say, oh, the church is just filled with hypocrites. Right? You ever hear that one? We're a bunch of sinners saved in Jesus Christ being turned into saints. And that's a lifetime process. So let's not let the lies of the devil float around like, oh, you got to, you know, the church is full of just perfect, self-righteous people. No, 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 no. We've all come from varied backgrounds. We've all done varied sins. And now we've come to Jesus Christ. Save my soul, Jesus, and change my life. Amen? And that's our message to all people. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter how you lived, we're all sinners. You need salvation through Jesus Christ. I laid out for us the various meanings and types and presentations of these Gospels. Matthew, it was written to the Jewish mind, to a religious mind. So when we study Matthew, we realize, what is his audience that he's writing to? Who's he really trying to approach and tap into? Well, he's going to use many, many prophecies from the Old Testament explaining to the Jewish people mindset, to all of us also, that Jesus is the Messiah, Mashiach. He's the Messiah. Also, he speaks to religious people that religion doesn't save. Jesus saves. He presents Jesus as Messiah and King. The typology that we find in there throughout Matthew is that he's presented as the lion, full of strength and authority. And what man teaches like this, he has such authority in his teachings. Mark was written to the Roman mind, a very pragmatic gospel, speaks of a servant redeemer because the Romans had millions of slaves in the Roman Empire. So he presents it as a servant, yet one who purchases those who are lost. That's how Mark presents the gospel message, the good news of Christ. Presents Jesus as the bull, one of service and power. Luke's gospel goes to the Greek mind, very idealistic mind. Presents Jesus as the perfect man in wisdom and knowledge, in character and life. He is the man full of wisdom and character, presented as the man. John, on the other hand, he presents Jesus universally, crosses all groups of people, all lifestyles, presents him as the Son of God. The eagle is a representative of Christ, and John speaks of his deity and his person. 100% God, 100% man. Who is this Matthew that gives us this gospel message? God anointed him, God spoke to him, and he wrote down the life of Jesus Christ, what he had experienced, and what he is to share with us as God inspired him and anointed him by the power of the Holy Spirit. The name Matthew means gift of God. Matthew wasn't born saved. Nobody's born saved. You have to commit your heart to Christ to get saved. Ask him in your heart, save you from your sins. It means gift of God, but we know from his trade that he delighted in the gifts of others as well. He was a tax collector. You might say today he worked for the IRS, but this tax collector was very corrupt. Matthew was very corrupt. I was thinking about the life of a tax collector or working for the IRS. I don't know if anybody here works for the IRS. Maybe you can help me out. We had someone that was very high up in the IRS that used to fellowship in our church. They moved away to the mainland, but we used to talk, and it was quite interesting. And because when you look at accountants, they're very stoic. Okay, very stoic people. It's just the numbers. Numbers do not lie. There's no emotions, right? You can say, but I did. Sorry, the audit says you've been ripping the government off. Pay up, and you're fined, and here are your penalties. And you're like, oh, you're killing me already, right? Please, please don't do it. No, that's just how it is. It's the numbers. It's the law. So here's Matthew. This is his life. He's a tax collector. Nobody likes the IRS. Right? Daryl, we're going to audit you. Oh, great. I can't wait for you to come over. Let's have dinner. Go ahead, audit me. Nobody likes that. The church was audited a few years ago. They came over and audited our church. Pastor Heath was the Chris took over Heath's job, but Heath was here at that time, for those of you that remember, and they audited the church and came in, and I'm like, oh, wow, I hope we got everything right. You know, we're trying to do everything right. There's nothing to hide, but you're trying to do everything right. We hope we got everything right, you know. They're going to audit us. It was a state audit. Came in. Several days, went through all the books, went through everything. He said, you're going to jail. No, he didn't. He didn't say that. He said, you guys are great. You got everything's lined up. Everything looks good. Everything balances. You guys have done a great job. And in fact, now this guy's really cool. He goes, here's a couple of other things I want to share with you that'll even help you more. Praise the Lord. Thank you very much. He was a really great guy. And he was stoic, yes, because he's a numbers man. But he did a great job, and we ran through it with flying colors. It was great. Here's Matthew, a tax collector. But this tax collector, he's corrupt. He gets payola. He pads things to get more money. He worked around in Capernaum under the authority of Herod Antipas. In Jesus' day, land and poll taxes were collected directly by Roman officials, but taxes on transported goods were contracted out to local collectors. Matthew was such a person, or else he was in the service of one. These middlemen paid and agreed upon sum in advance to the Roman officials for the right to collect taxes in an area. Their profit came from the excess they could squeeze from the people. So you didn't want them to come to your house. You didn't want them to come to your business because you knew you're going to get squeezed. The Jewish people hated these tax collectors, not only for the corruption, but also because they worked with the despised Romans. Tax collectors were ranked with murderers and robbers. The attitude found in the Gospels is similar. Tax collectors are lumped together with harlots, Gentiles, and most often sinners. They are as offensive to Jews for their economic and social practices as lepers were for their uncleanness. Both were excluded from the people of God. So being a tax collector was a lonely life. You wouldn't walk into a supermarket in the neighborhood and be, hey, Matthew, how you doing? Oh, there's Matthew. That's your life. I want you to turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, and see how Matthew was called to the ministry, to follow Christ. He was called to salvation. Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, "Follow me." Two words. Follow me. So Matthew arose and followed him. Isn't that amazing? Have you ever thought about the day you were saved? Why was it that day? Why wasn't it sooner? Why wasn't it later? Why was it for me, I'll just share my experience, why was it 1 o'clock at night on April the 4th, 1979? It was that day that Jesus spoke deeply to my heart. He said, "Daryl, you're a sinner. You're going to hell. You need my salvation. Now follow me." And I said that sinner's prayer. And from that day forward, my life has never been the same. And each and every one of you have that similar, same testimony. It's just a moment in time. Jesus looks at him and says, "Follow me." You see, there was something going on in Matthew's heart for quite some time. You and I are used of God in a variety of ways as we come across people's lives in different places. And God says, "I want you to minister to them right now." Really? Yeah. Talk to them about my love, my grace, my mercies. Share with them. And you may be planting a seed, you may be watering a seed, or you may be harvesting the seed. All of a sudden, you may turn to them and say, "Would you like to ask Jesus Christ into your heart to be your Lord and Savior?" "Yes, I would. Let's pray." Now, dear friends, I want every single one of you in this congregation and the next service, and tonight's service, I want you all to be soul winners. "Pastor, you're pushing it, man." I know. But you've got to be looking for the opportunities. You have to be praying for the opportunities. "Go ye therefore and be a soul winner and make disciples." So many times the devil says, "Zip your lip. Don't you dare ask them. Don't, you're pushing it. They're going to reject you. They're going to get upset with you. They might not receive." Just say, "You know, I know you've been going through a lot. Jesus Christ is the answer to your life. He wants to help you. He wants to bless you. Would you like to pray and ask him to be your Lord and Savior?" Simple. What, they could say, "No, I'm offended." Whatever. But it's a simple, you know what? If you're a salesman, right? You're never going to get the sale if you don't ask, "Would you like to purchase this product?" Otherwise, you're not a salesman, right? You got to close the deal. If you're doing a job, you got to go forth and get the contract signed and get it done. And it's so simple. But the devil tells us, he institutes fear, intimidation, and we listen to it. There are family members right now, or friends right now that you've been sharing with. My dear friend, close the deal. You know, I've been sharing with you for quite some time, but I've never asked you this, and I hope you don't mind. You can be very respectful about it, but I hope you don't mind. Would you like to ask Jesus Christ into your heart? He wants to forgive you of all your sins, and he wants to change your life. He loves you. He will help you. He will bless you, just like he's done for me. Now they may say, "Yes, I would. No, I don't. You know, I'm not ready." That's okay. It's okay. Squeaky wheel gets the grease, amen? Keep working at it. God's going to keep working at it. And pretty soon, those lies of the devil are going to be removed. The hardened heart has become soft. And all of a sudden they'll realize it's time. You may have tried when they were 20. Now they're 70. You keep working at it, my friend. Keep working at it because God wants to save souls. And you love them and you want to see them saved also. Amen? Matthew responds. He follows Jesus. Now it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard that, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Sinners to repentance. Matthew, I'm calling you a sinner to repentance. You a tax collector. You despised. You who are lonely. You who are empty. You've tried to fill everything in your life with the money, but it doesn't work. So many times we're amazed because there's a celebrity or an athlete or a singing star, whatever. And they have all this money, all this fame. Then you discover they're a drug addict or they're an alcoholic or they take their life. They're just miserable. They're bankrupt of soul and heart because only God can fill it. And they've been stuffing all this garbage into their life and it's destroying them. God wants to save all people. All people. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, turn with me. Jesus gave a parable. Could it be about Matthew? We don't know. I'm just saying, could it be? But it's quite a story. In verse 9, Luke 18. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector." You know, it's amazing what religion can do to you. How we can become and have this self-righteous attitude over other people. Oh, that homosexual. Oh, it's got the life. Did you hear what they did? She's an adulterer. She got an abortion. Yeah, it's all wrong. I get it. They don't know any better. That's what the world tells them to do. It's all on the television shows. It's all on Planned Parenthood. It's all on the government. It's all through the educational system. What do you expect? We're hammered with it. Live this way, live this way, live this way. Because the devil is in charge. He is a liar and a murderer. So God forbid we become self-righteous. Yes, we have to call out sin. But we also have to call out salvation, amen? There's sin. And we're all sinners. We all need to give our hearts to Jesus Christ. I'm no better than any other person on earth. Just as sinful as a homosexual. Just as sinful as the adulterer. Just as sinful as a woman that got an abortion. Just as sinful as a man that pushed that abortion upon that woman. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. I know, you think my name is Skinner. It is, but I'm a sinner. And I'm saved by the precious love of God and the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's available to all people, no matter what you've done. God loves you. Jesus died for you. and he wants to save you. Listen, this religious man was self-righteous. Oh, he was so self-exalted over all people. Then Jesus said, this religious man said, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And then Jesus says, and the tax collector standing afar off would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Man, those are powerful words. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house. What's it say? What's the word? Justified, rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Justified. He admitted who he was. I am a sinner. God, be merciful to me. God has been merciful to us. He sent his only begotten Son in truth, in love, to die on the cross for our sins. Every single vicious, wicked, immoral, ugly, horrible sin we commit was placed upon Jesus Christ. And now, by faith in him and what he did for us, we are justified. His blood washes away all of our sins, justified, just as if I have never sinned. When God looks at you as one who's been redeemed, who's been purchased by the blood of the Lamb, who's been atoned for, who's been saved, he says, you are forgiven, past, present, and future. You are saved, and you're headed to heaven, and no one can pluck you out of my hand. This is the work of Christ for us. This is the work of Christ for Matthew. For Matthew. Saved. Be merciful to me, a sinner. Now listen closely, because I want to share a very important spiritual truth. So many times people get saved, and then they keep thinking, how could God love me? I've done all these things. They were whoppers. I did these big sins. This is where you come to faith in Christ. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Your faith is built upon the facts of the Word of God. The Bible declares, though your sins were as scarlet, you're now made as white as snow. I take your sins, I cast them as far to the east as to the west, and I remember them no more. Therefore, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Don't listen to yourself. Don't listen to the devil. Place your faith in the facts of the Word of God. You are forgiven. Stop living a guilty life. Start leading a victorious life. And praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. People need to see the good news in our hearts. The joy of Jesus Christ. The forgiveness of sins. The hope of eternal life. You're never gonna die. Live that way, my friends. Live that way. Let the people see it in your heart and your soul and your face and your life. Serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't worry, I'm not gonna go into chapter 1. Tradition says that Matthew ministered to the Jews both in Israel and abroad for many years, which included missionary journeys. Some people wonder, well, how did the message get out there? Well, one area is this guy's life. He took the message to the whole world. Well, not to the whole world, but various parts of the world. His missionary journeys included Persia, which we today would be Iran, Ethiopia, down into Africa, Syria to the north, and possibly Greece going into Europe. Before being martyred for his faith, It's believed that Matthew was burned at the stake. This man gave up a lucrative career, corrupt as it was, to gain eternal life through Jesus Christ, his Lord. When we look to Matthew, he presents Jesus as Israel's promised messianic king. The phrase, the King of Heaven, appears 32 times. Matthew uses more Old Testament quotations and allusions than any other book, almost 130. The Son of David, or Davidic references, occur 9 times in Matthew, but only 6 times in all of the other Gospels. Matthew is a meticulously organized accountant, giving us the audited reports which prove that Jesus is the predicted Messiah. Our key verses are found in Matthew chapter 16, verses 16 to 18. Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock," not on Peter, but on the confession, "thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Matthew 22, 37 to 40, another key verse. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang the law and the prophets." Finally, Matthew 28, 18 to 20. "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." The gospel according to Matthew, chapters 1 and 2, we see Messiah King's birth certificate. Chapters 3 to 4, we see Messiah King's baptism and battle. 5 to 7, Messiah King's sermon on the mount. 8 to 9, Messiah King's miraculous power. 10 to 11, the King's discipleship program. In chapter 12, Messiah King's rejection. 13 to 20, Messiah King's parables, miracles, instructions for life, and continued rejection. 21 to 22, Messiah King's triumphal entry and presentation. Chapter 23, Messiah King's condemnation of the nation and religious leaders. Chapters 24 to 25, Messiah King's prophecies of the last days. Chapters 26 to 27, Messiah King's passion. Chapter 28, Messiah King's resurrection and great commission. We have so much to look forward to and so much to learn and so much to proclaim. Amen? I'll leave you with this. I didn't plan on it, but I'll give it to you. You've heard it, I'm sure, but I love it, and I'll share it with you. It's written by Dr. James Allen Francis, a poem he wrote in 1926. He was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He grew up in still another village where he worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30. Then for 3 years, he was an itinerant preacher. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never had a family or owned a house. He didn't go to college. He never visited a big city. He never traveled 200 miles from the place where he was born. He did none of the things one usually associates with greatness. He had no credentials but himself. He was only 33 when the tide of public opinion turned against him. His friends ran away. He was turned over to his enemies. He went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed to a cross between two thieves. While he was dying, his executioners gambled for his clothing. The only property he had on earth When he was the only property he had on earth. When he was dead, he was laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. 20 centuries have come and gone. Today, he is a central figure of the human race. and the leader of mankind's progress. All the armies that ever marched, all the navies that ever sailed, all the parliament that ever sat, all the kings that ever reigned, put together have not affected the life of man on earth as much as that one solitary life, the life and the love of Jesus Christ. Let's stand and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and we thank you for this beautiful gospel of Matthew, a gospel of good news, a gospel of great news, a gospel of salvation, a gospel of eternal life, a gospel of forgiveness, a gospel of power, a gospel of love, a gospel of peace, a gospel to be learned. Lord, teach us. We are your disciples. We want to love you. We want to learn your word. We want to live your life. As you said to Matthew, follow me, so we too will follow you. May you anoint our hearts, anoint our minds, anoint our souls, anoint our marriages, anoint our families, anoint us in the workplace, in the marketplace, across the world, Lord, and use us to reach family, to reach friends, to reach co-workers, to reach strangers in the streets, people across the world. Use us to reach them with your great and glorious salvation. Have you given your heart to Jesus Christ? No, really. I'm not talking about religion. You saw the religious man, was it saved? You have committed your heart to Jesus Christ. He's not fire insurance. He's your Lord. He's your Savior. He's your God. If you've not done that, then right now, as Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father which is in heaven. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone will open the door of their heart, I will come into them and I will sup. I will have a relationship with them. My dear friend, today is the day of salvation. Don't wait another second. You never know when you're going to die. If you want to get saved, raise your hand right now. Anybody here not saved? Raise your hand. Anybody here? Father, use us tremendously this week to reach the lost, to make disciples. And Father, one last thing is on my heart. That police officer that was killed in the Big Island, we pray for that whole family. We pray for all the police officers, Lord. Protect them. These are evil days. Watch over this family. May they turn to you, Lord. May they find strength and comfort in you and surround them with believers. We love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.